In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us on this Friday morning for our newest edition of the Word for Life. And I'm Mark Widmer, joining Pastor Ken Keltner and our youth intern, Andy Hecker. And we're walking through the book of Revelation and getting to the trumpet judgments that we find in chapter 8. Just before Pastor Ken takes this away for us, one last day to remind you of our church picnic coming up on Sunday, just 2 days away. Going to be a big, big day, as it always is. We're setting up a large tent outside, going to have an outdoor service at 10 o'clock. Two of our missionary families are going to be with us. One is going to be preaching, John Zimmer, and then John and Sarah, a different family from Southeast Asia, are going to be presenting their ministry. The afternoon is filled with food and drinks and games and activities. Come and join us. There's no registration, no cost, and we'd love to have you come and be part of our day. Pastor Ken?
This is Friday, June 28th, Pastor Mark.
Thank you.
And do you know that tomorrow I actually go to 66?
Is that right?
And I look back and I think, wow, where has time gone?
I know it. This is happy birthday Eve.
But friends, we have one life on this earth and God's given us a purpose. I always say, you know, what's my purpose? Well, you know, people say, well, we can sing and glorify God. Well, I said, well, we can do that in heaven. We're going to be doing that in heaven. Well, I can give God thanks and just rejoice in the many blessings and thank Him for my salvation. And yeah, we're going to be doing that now and we can do that in heaven. But what's one thing I'm not going to be able to do in heaven? I'm not going to be able to share the gospel with unsaved people. There's going to be no unsaved people in heaven or in the new heaven and the new earth. And friends, we have an important opportunity right now, a mandate. Jesus' last command in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 should be our first concern, that we be witnesses for Him. So I trust today, especially as we go through Revelation, you see, we see what's coming. This is like you being on the other side of the hill and there's a massive wreck that has included maybe 19, 20, 30, 40 cars. And you run up over on the other side of the hill and you're warning people, you're trying to get them to slow down. There is something terrible in this, and some will speed right past you, but at least you're there warning people. And that's where we should find ourselves right now. But in chapter 8, before we get into the heavy judgment, again, we see the importance of prayer. And we looked at last week, this incense that's offered there that's talked about in verse 3 is part of God being honored and loving to hear the prayer of His saints. Then in verse 4, the impact of these prayers. They ascend up before God. And I believe it's the martyred prayers here that are the prayers of those martyred in Revelation chapter 5 and beyond. And what God hears is their anguished cry for His will, His justice, and His holiness. Adrian Rogers said this, and I quote, "When there is no hope on the horizontal level, there's always hope on the vertical level." End of quote. David Platt, looking at warfare prayer in the context of Revelation chapter 8, writes that there are several aspects in this spiritual conflict. He writes, "Our battle is fierce. There's an enemy who wants to defeat us. Number two, our prayers are effective. Our cries go up and His kingdom comes down. And number three, our God is faithful. He will demonstrate His power, vindicate His people, extend His mercy, and uphold His justice." One of the greatest affirmations in all of Scripture, my friends, is found in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 8, which simply says, God is faithful. I thought David Platt was pretty accurate in looking at these aspects of the spiritual conflict that we even find ourselves in. The battle is fierce, our prayers are effective, and our God is faithful.
Great.
And friends, it's a good fall when we fall on our knees before God. Richard Trench said this, "Prayer is not getting man's will done in heaven, but getting God's will done on earth." End of quote. So the impact of these prayers as they ascend before God, they're answered by the angel's actions. The angel in this scene takes the censer and he casts it towards the earth, signifying that the judgment of God is about ready to be unleashed. And then the other impact of their prayers is that they're acknowledged by voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. I mean, the language here is reminiscent of what you would see that took place on Mount Sinai when God called Moses up to the mountain. Here, intercession has turned to judgment, not according to man's timetable, but according to God's timetable. And my friends, the judgment of God is coming. The trumpet judgments are a portion of that great and terrible day. So now we move into verses 6 through 12, which is going to talk about the judgments and how they're going to come down. And friends, more and more attention is being given by government and private individuals today to save the planet. It is fairly common to hear political figures talk of climate change must happen to save the earth. We have a president right now that has that message out, that we have to save the earth. And I would say we have to be good stewards, my friends. And there are a number of ways our world is attempting, though, to address the issue, one of which is teaching children you have to save the planet. It's a message to do everything to save Mother Nature. And I'm in no way excusing mankind's thoughtlessness of use resources, but the damage mankind has done to this planet is in no way comparable to the damage that will be done to planet Earth by God himself. Did you happen to notice a word that's going to be repeated 13 times in this chapter? It's the word third of the earth being destroyed. Friends, let me tell you, God could actually wipe it out all at once, but he does it slowly. Why? Because he wants us to suffer? No. Or he wants mankind to suffer? No. Could it be God's patience, a third of the trees? Now, people, are you paying attention? A third of the sea life? Well, maybe now they'll pay attention, and so on. Why don't you read verses 6 and 7 for us here in chapter 8, Pastor Mark?
So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up.
You're going to emphasize this third. You see in verse 7, plant life is devastated. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees burned up. Even the green grass was burned up. The sentence structure of this verse indicates that the blood and the hail and the firestorm was actually created in heaven and it was thrown down to earth. Then you have marine life that is destroyed in verses 8 and 9.
Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed.
We have here this massive tsunami created by the impact of this asteroid will create just incredible devastation. I mean, this destruction should remind us of the plagues in Egypt, which God turned the Nile River into blood. Then we find out here now that drinking water is defiled. I mean, we need water. Listen to verses 10 and 11.
Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter.
You know, man can't live without water, and here we see the drinking water is defiled. You might be thinking, that's no big deal because where I live, it's already defiled. Even though that might be true, you still find a place to get water. So a star falls from heaven called Wormwood, and its poison affects the lakes, the rivers, the natural springs. So you're not going to get your natural spring drinking water in a bottle anymore.
No.
There's no reason to take this in any other way than literally. Verse 12, natural light's going to be diminished.
Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars. so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night.
Notice this verse very carefully here. We realize that John is not saying one third of the sun is blocked out, or of the moon and the stars. He's actually saying that they will operate one third less. Again, a picture of God's mercy. Will they look to me now? Okay, how about that? Will they look to me now? And we close with verse 13. The world is just trembling.
And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound."
God in his mercy here warns mankind of three more terrible judgments. And the target of these judgments are on the earth dwellers. They're the unbelievers. And these three woes warn unsaved people, the worst is yet to come. This is a warning of terrible consequences. Jesus used this word woe seven times in Matthew 23 to let the religious rulers know what they had done. I'll have Andy read Romans 1:18 for us. Listen to this.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man who suppress the truth in unrighteousness.
And now keep reading and listen to verses 19 in the first part of verse 20.
Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen.
In other words, friends, mankind should have been able to look at his world and the immense creation and conclude there is a God and that he's all-powerful. Romans 1:25 goes on to say that men exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. My friends, mankind has failed to honor God, failed to recognize God, and has in turn worshiped the earth. In these seal and trumpet judgments, God gets involved in climate change. And let me tell you, it changes. God's going to turn up the heat. And in so doing, he will use nature, mankind's chief source of idolatry. You know, man worships the sun. To judge mankind. And ladies and gentlemen, the wrath of God is unstoppable. Your appointment with God is unavoidable. And we cannot avoid the Creator of life. And we close with this question, are you ready to meet him?
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer, or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org, or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.